Hello, Eagles fans. I'm Chris McPherson, and welcome. And we are finally back. Another edition
of the Eagles Beakley Podcast.
Always beating me to the punch. There's Bo Wolf, also joined by the illustrious Fran Duffy. And yes, you are listening to the Eagles Insider Podcast. Of course, Bo is going to try to Bogart the name of this podcast.
Real fans know where it's at. They know where it's at.
There's a Twitter account for Eagles Beakley. I mean,
I can't promise it.
We are all witnesses to the Eagles Beakley Revolution.
Yes.
So, we are in our new studio, by the way. Well, what's going to be our new studio?
New studio for the season. Bo is back from his honeymoon, freshly married.
Yes.
Newlywed status.
Still playing with my ring.
The band is back together. Training camp is upon us. And finally, we were talking some real Eagles football and some real storylines. And obviously, I think that's where we should start with here on the show is what are some of your big headlines going into training camp as we're just less than a week in? Fran, I'll let you kick things off. What are the things that you're looking at as the ball gets rolling on year two under Chip Kelly?
I think, and I don't want to say it just because it's been the mantra here, but I think it's just improvement across the board. I mean, you look at on both sides of the ball, all three phases of the game. Once we get to preseason, we could start seeing this, how every single phase of the game is improved and really how this team could take the next step in 2014. I'm excited. Obviously, all the different weapons we've talked about that have been added offensively. Obviously, Jordan Matthews has looked great so far. Josh Huff as well is getting praised. So I'm really excited to see all these new weapons and how they kind of fit into this offense because it's going to be really a widespread attack, obviously running the ball and throwing the ball. So I'm very excited.
It's interesting because, you know, on paper, special teams is better. Defense is better for sure. And I think second year in Bill Davis's scheme, certainly we expect to jump. Plus guys like Marcus Smith and Nolan Carroll coming in. On offense, I think the faith that the offense is going to get better is more of a Chip thing because obviously you lose Deshaun. You bring in guys like Jordan Matthews and Josh Huff, and Lane Johnson's not going to play the first four games. So on paper, you're missing a little bit. And is Nick Foles going to throw only two interceptions again? Probably not. But the faith, I think, that the offense will improve is Chip Kelly's second year. He makes more adjustments to the adjustments in the NFL. I think the offense is going to be really interesting to follow in the first couple months of the season. How do they take that step forward?
Interesting.
I think it's funny that everybody, you know, you look around the media and everyone's like, oh, everyone's been watching tape on Chip Kelly in this offense, as if Chip Kelly's not watching film on everybody else right. And coming up with what his changes are going to be and how this team's going to get better and all different wrinkles. It's going to be exciting to watch. I can't wait for next Friday.
To speak about the offense, we have quarterback Mark Sanchez as our special guest here on the Eagles Insider Podcast. To your point, Bo, what I like about the offense is the depth that they've added. I think more than anything else, because pretty much your starters are in place from last season. Jerry Maclin takes over for Deshaun Jackson. Jordan Matthews, you expect at some point to win the starting slot receiver job, even though Brad Smith is still running with the first team offense there. But you've added, as the number two running back, you have Darren Sproles coming to the mix. Zach Ertz, you figure, is taking the next leap this year.
Don't count on Josh Pawnill either.
No, not whatsoever.
He's still a factor. Bird's 24/7 intern shout out, since he's the only other guy in this room right now besides Brian Thomas.
We basically have taken over one of the media workrooms, the media overflow workroom, and it's been used for press conferences in the past. And Josh is the unfortunate soul who has to listen to us.
He's the only overflow media person here today.
You can look behind us, and I don't know if the shot's wide enough, but the framing of the new set is there. This is just temporary. There's a framing of a new set. It's going to look great. There's going to be a new desk.
It's magic.
It's going to be great. So
the magic.
So Josh will have to find somewhere else to be.
Yes.
At some point here. How about the defense, though? I mean, you have 10 of the 11 starters are returning from last season. Malcolm Jenkins right now is the only one who's slated to be a new starter.
Didn't even mention him, yeah.
You know, on the defensive side of the football, where do you think the biggest amount of growth will come from?
I think, obviously, you're looking at this defensive line group and that was so young a year ago and just taking another step. So you have guys like Vinnie Curry growing into that role that we saw over the last eight games last year. And you have Fletcher Cox and Benny Logan and Cedric Thornton, who I thought was probably the most consistent player from week one to week 17 last year. Obviously, the linebackers. I mean, everybody, I think, is going to be taking the next step. We talked about Jenkins. Now, obviously, Nolan Carroll, too. I think Nolan Carroll has had a good start to camp so far. And I think he's going to push for one of these jobs. And if he doesn't, I mean, I said it to Bo, actually, the other day. Obviously, we all meet Eagles fans in our personal lives and talk to people who want to give us their opinion on the team and people saying, oh, you know, we need a stud corner. I would much rather be in the situation we're in now where we've got four quality corner, good corners, as opposed to someone who's known as like a widespread lockdown corner, elite corner. I like where we're at right now with this.
You mean a stud corner and a smacking.
Yeah. Correct. Obviously. Yeah. So I would rather be, you look at a team like Arizona last year, where they had Patrick Peterson, obviously, who just got paid this morning. And on the other side, they had Jerrod Powers, who struggled. And so the teams were able to attack Jerrod Powers pretty consistently. You had Patrick Peterson on one side, but
I'm not going to turn you down if you want to trade me, Patrick Peterson.
Obviously, you want to mask as many weaknesses as possible.
I would rather have yes. four good guys and have depth as opposed to having one guy and some mediocre talent or below mediocre talent opposite.
On paper, and I'm definitely jinxing things right now, and I'm sorry for that. But barring injury, I don't see how this defense can't be better than it was last year, because it's, first of all, young for the most part. The defensive line, those guys you would assume are improving. The linebackers, D'Amico is at the age where maybe you start to see a little bit of decline. Trent Cole, same there, but Connor Barwin's still in his prime. The guys on the outside are still in their prime. Malcolm Jenkins is certainly better than anything they had at safety last year. Earl Wolfe is playing in his second year, Nate Allen. And then as a whole, as the guys have talked about, they're comfortable in the defense. They know where they're supposed to be. Connor Barwin was saying midway through the season last year, they're still learning the scheme. Now they don't have to learn where they have to be, what the checks are. It's more second nature. They're learning more new techniques and stuff like that. And then Bill Davis has another year with this personnel, so he can probably tweak things a little bit more. I think we'll probably see some more sub packages this year. They've talked about getting D'Amico and Connor Barwin off the field a little bit more. They both played like 98-99% of the snaps. D'Amico led the league in defensive snaps. With that depth at cornerback, I think maybe you see some more dime stuff. You get to see,
which they couldn't do last year.
Right,
they didn't
exactly
have last year.
So now you've got Carroll can play in the slot and dime if need be, unless he's taking someone else's job on the outside. Boykin obviously is a stud. So
Jalen Watkins has played in the slot as well.
Right. So I think I can't imagine right now, barring injury, how this defense doesn't take a step forward.
Certainly, you start with the defensive line there, and last year having to learn the two-gap, there's an old-school two-gap system, and that's something that it's tough for a guy like Fletcher Cox, who was a one-gap penetrator to start his career, now being asked to do the dirty work, to be unselfish, which he adjusted to and did a great job in the second half of the season as he learned the scheme. But now he has that full year. He can finally, I think, put those physical tools that made him first-round pick and be able to flourish in this scheme the second year. And obviously, Benny Logan, the sky's the limit for him after coming in and starting the second half of last season, bulking up a little bit in the offseason, and also just getting adjusted to the new scheme here.
Yeah, no question. I'm excited, especially for that group. I mean, there's so many guys along that line. Obviously, we've added Taylor Hart, who was a favorite of mine throughout the spring. And Bo Allen has come in, and he's played well, too. He's gotten a lot of praise. So
he's had some first-team reps early on in camp. Chip Kelly.
Well, yeah, but that's also because Benny Logan hasn't practiced yet. So
yes, true, but still. But yeah, okay, still the fact that he's in the mix.
Him and Damon Square. Yeah.
I'm not looking for him to start. But
I know. But just for people who don't know that,
yes,
letting them know.
True. Trent Cole actually said something interesting to me this morning where, I was asking him how's camp been going so far, and he said, feels like 2005. And I'm like, well, what do you mean by that? He's like, I feel like I'm a rookie again in terms of youthfulness, energy. You hear a lot of...
I was going to say, I don't want him feeling like a rookie his second year in the system.
No. That's why I asked him, that's why you got to tell me what you mean by that. Because a rookie, do you feel like you're lost? Do you feel like that you're adjusting? No, he said no. He just feels from a physical standpoint that he feels as good, as young, as spry as he did that season. So certainly it's everyone buying into Chip Kelly and the sports science and the nutrition aspect of things. But and I know that Trent is someone who's done a great job of taking care of his body over the years. But
Sleep chamber.
And you certainly – that's one of the things I miss about Lehigh, the reporting day, and seeing the contraptions and the stuff that guys would bring.
That is definitely not something that I miss.
See what they would
just
come to the dorms
with. Sitting there – in bacon in the dorms. Sun, like we're trying to find where Asante Samuel's trying to sneak into the building, everybody running towards him. I don't miss Lehigh that much.
But
respect to Lehigh, but
of course
I'm happy to be a mile away from my house.
But from the standpoint of just it's just good to see that you've added more depth to that position in the offseason. You got Marcus Smith II in there. You've got Brian Braman in there. So certainly you hope you're taking Brandon Graham coming back also in the second year in the scheme. You're hoping you're taking a little bit off Trent's plate to make him that much more effective, even though you look at arguably his best game of the year was week 16 when he had 3 sacks against the Chicago Bears when Coach Azenero told him, take over the game.
That's right. Classic Az.
Yeah,
8 sacks in his last 8 games. None in the first 8. So
insane. Absolutely insane there. And special teams. I mean, again, that's the other phase of ball where you've seen improvement to this point. What have you guys seen out of Nick Foles at this point? Everyone wants to know, obviously the first full season as a starter. How's he handling being the guy coming back from his historic season? What have you guys seen from him up to this point?
I've seen incredible patience in answering the same questions every single day. He's definitely more patient than I would be every time. How do you bounce back from last year? How do you still improve? Stuff like that. So he's certainly got the mentality to be a leader on the team. And, he's doing the running to the end of the field after the reps and stuff.
Did he talk about that? I'd wanted to ask him about that, why he does that.
I think it's just something they're supposed to do, and he's trying to lead by example. But he's been very sharp. The offense has been very sharp for the most part up until today, which is Wednesday when we're filming it. The offense was killing the defense every day until today. The defense finally got their hands on some balls. I think they had 4 interceptions after having any in the first 3. But Foles has been great. I don't think we expect much of a drop off for him. Obviously, that there's going to be some fluky things. He's not going to only throw 2 interceptions again. But I think the offense has taken to him very well. I think he has already found sort of his chemistry with Jeremy Maclin back. Obviously, he's good with Cooper. And right now, Brad Smith is that guy in the slot. But I think Nick is fine.
Calm, confident, and under control. That's what he really looks that way, as if he's complete command of this offense right now. So it's fun to go out there and kind of see him kind of just be in complete control of what he's doing out there. I'm excited for Friday. I know I've said it already twice, but
you are.
I'm excited. I'm excited for the game next Friday.
Next Friday. I was going to say you have to wait a whole
week from Friday. So. Unfortunately.
At what point in that game will you be ready to just be done with the preseason and be ready for the regular season? Second snap.
See. What's funny is I was always one of those guys who liked I like seeing the backups play and like seeing so I'm just excited for football. One of the good stat. Probably one of the best things I've read in a while was this past Sunday. Someone tweeted that this was the last weekend without football until February.
Amazing.
So it's back. I'm excited.
Sit back and enjoy the ride.
I can't help it. If I'm a nerd, I'm a nerd.
Well, to be fair, you've been watching tape every day since anyway. So
Well,
what do you have in store for Fran? For those of you who don't know, is the lead producer for our game plan show, which airs on 6ABC during the fall with Brian Baldinger, Mike Quick, Ike Reese.
It's 7:30 on Saturday nights this fall.
Very nice. Yep. What are some of the special segments that you're already researching, that you have planned, that fans can look forward to?
We've been doing a lot of work the last couple of weeks. We just got done doing a segment with Ross Tucker of SiriusXM Radio, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast.
Of course.
Also of the Eagles Draft Live show.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Most importantly. He was there day 2, Eagles Draft Live.
Yep.
And he was fantastic. And he was great. It's going to be a really cool segment. It's called the Anatomy of a Play. And basically, it's going to be...
I'm just laughing.
I'm laughing because that's... Yeah.
It's a good name. It works. And I actually
dust think, it off. Perfect.
I think that this name...
I don't mean to cut you off, but I was hoping that with this break, we might have some new drops, but I guess not.
No. This name, I think, fits this segment more than it has in the past. And that's what excites me about it, is that really we're kind of getting to the nuts and bolts of certain concepts, and Ross will be up on a whiteboard drawing some things up. And so I'm excited about that. So we'll have that in the show this year. Obviously, we'll have Chip in studio with Baldy breaking down the tape again, which was
great.
Which is great.
Gold. Absolute gold.
I mean, if I'm going to come into the office at 6 o'clock, 5:30 on a Wednesday morning, it's going to be to tape that segment.
That's not true. You do that anyway.
I do it pretty much every day. Anyway,
Joanne James or something like that.
I'm excited. And obviously we've got A lot of other segments too that we're excited about for the fall.
Are you bringing anything else back? Are you going to do the Turkey Hill game ball?
No Turkey Hill game ball, although I do have that on my shelf in my office.
Okay.
We've got a segment, Old School All 22, that I'm excited about.
Oh,
as well.
I like that. That's very cool.
Yeah, so it'll
Was Dan Klecko?
Dan Klecko hosting, yep, exactly. And it's going to be very cool. Looking back at key moments, key games in Eagles history, and looking at the tape from those games.
Well,
so
can you give us a taste?
Well,
give us
I'm asking for one play. Look, Brian Thomas was in the office the first day, and I had the first one I got to look at was the body bag game. No one has ever seen the tape from the body bag game, and I was sitting there watching, and it's just unbelievable. Brian was sitting there, and all I kept saying was, Jerome Brown is so good. Jerome Brown is so good.
Yeah.
You know, Seth Joyner and Byron Evans and all these guys, obviously Reggie White and, you know, Clyde Simmons. I'm sitting there, and just, this team is unbelievable. And these guys are just making fun of. They're just ripping on me because I'm, you know, going nuts over in the corner.
Yeah,
I cannot imagine anything else where you would be more a pig in, you know,
slop.
Like that is like I imagine that is like what you go to bed dreaming about.
I've never seen because we had Warren Sapp and John Randall and obviously the guys that are in the league now with Ndamukong Suh, everyone talks about as one of the most dominant players inside. Jerome Brown was unbelievable. He was so dominant, and just getting ready to watch him. And obviously we watched the House of Pain game and the game where we sacked Aikman 11 and a half times and we did 4th and 26 and just a lot of the pickle juice game, a lot of
That's
games
cool.
in Eagles history that no one's really seen the tape of.
But what's it like watching the All 22?
That's
what I mean. That's where it's sort of weird because it's like you know the fan reaction, you know how important these plays ended up being, but I'm sure it's got to be weird when you're just watching the It's sterile, I mean, because you're just seeing. There's no sound. There's no broadcaster. It's just the coach's tape.
Well, what's crazy, too, is like you think of the play when Randall Cunningham evades Carl Banks and hits Jimmy Giles in the back of the end zone for the touchdown on Monday Night Football. We have one angle of that play. No one has ever seen another angle of that play other than that film's top angle, that top 50, high 50 angle. And so being able to watch that play from, you know, a different angle, from a different viewpoint is pretty cool. So just seeing how all these plays develop. There were some where I watched and I was like, oh, you know, maybe there's something cool with this play. And sometimes it was just something fluky. So I said, all right, well, I can't really use this one. And there were some where I wasn't expecting it. And, you know, we'll see. It's going to be a weekly segment on the website this year. And I'm excited for that.
That's awesome.
So we have tons of great content planned for y'all this season. But what we're going to do
now. Dropping a y'all.
Y'all.
Wow.
Yes. Throw it in there.
Been to the South lately or what?
I have not, actually.
Interesting.
Believe it or not. Southern Delaware.
Maybe it's too much watching The Bachelorette.
Maybe. Outstanding finale. Absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Exactly.
C-Mac is a big fan of The Bachelor.
Yes. I would probably do all 22 of that, if anything.
What would you break down?
Ooh, the facial reactions, the you know, how people were approached. I could run with that.
Before you got married, did you watch that show?
No.
So
was that show even around before you got married?
Well,
we've been married for a while.
Been dating my wife for 14 years almost. So, no, I don't think it was around when we first started dating. 2000.
So would you watch it if Aaron wouldn't have
watched it? Probably not. No.
I think there are certain shows that we all kind of say, okay, I'll watch it just because you want to watch it. The question is, where do you draw the line?
No, I enjoy it, but it's not something that I would have gotten hooked on unless I watch it with her. So,
I think we all have those shows. There's also ones where she'll watch and I say, no, I have to draw the line. I'm not watching Honey Boo Boo.
That was bad. I've seen it. It's bad. Yeah. But there's some shows that I need to catch up on that because I'm watching The Bachelorette that I'm not seeing, like Breaking Bad. Like I've been starting at that from the beginning.
You'll enjoy that.
So you get into it, but it's at the same time, it's not something my wife's going to really enjoy. So. Got to find those quiet moments.
I've got nothing to add here.
No?
Yeah. I'm ready to move on.
Yeah. Let's do that. We had a chance to catch up with quarterback Mark Sanchez just a little while ago. Let's bring him into the Eagles Insider Podcast. Mark, welcome to Philadelphia. How's your first training camp as an Eagle been going for you?
It's going great. Thanks for having me. First 3 days were great. We got a little day off. And team looks good. We picked up right where we left off on offense. Defense looks competitive. And special teams is always flying around, so it's been a good couple days.
I think I speak for most Eagles fans when I say we're very happy to have you in Philadelphia, and yes. I know you're happy to be here. But does part of you wish that Philadelphia was a little further from New York, so you didn't have to have a New York media guy here every single day to talk to you.
They do come around.
You can't get
rid
of them. That's funny. It is just such a short distance. So, but that's the way it goes. It's all good. I love being here, though.
What's been the biggest difference going from New York City to Philly?
Training camp weather is pretty similar. Teams were very competitive in camp. I think having an offensive-minded head coach is a little different just in the way things are run around the building. But, you know, just we'll see as the season unfolds. But, you know, I'm just excited about the talent we have here, about this preseason coming up and all these guys fighting to make the team. It makes things fun around here, and the atmosphere is great.
Chip keeps talking about how this is your fourth different offense, how you've had to learn four different offenses.
Right.
I mean, how tough is that? How tough is it to learn new language and all that stuff? How's it coming along?
You hit it on the head there. Just learning a new language is really what it feels like. So, you know, you just start over each year. But this one seems to really click. I think the way they install it, the way everything is off of signals and code words, it makes it so fast and so quick. And it just kind of resonates in your head. You never really forget it. And studying over the break was easy, you know, just going through my flashcards and stuff, but it was almost like I didn't need to make them. They just make it so fun, and some of the code words and tags and signals, you just can't get them out of your head anytime somebody says those words. And, you know, just when you're out on the street, if you hear that word, you automatically think of stuff. And that's because of the way we get them signaled and stuff, so it makes it fun.
Very cool.
Was there any guys that you kind of knew before you got here that you were excited to kind of meet up with and kind of be on the same team with?
I knew Casey Matthews from Athletes First. We had the same agent. A couple other guys with the same agent. John Dornbos works out in Orange County during the off season, so I got a chance to hang out with him a couple times. I didn't know he was quite the character that he is.
What's the first magic trick he played on you?
He did the thing where he can figure out what word you're looking at on the page.
Okay. I don't think he's.
I haven't seen that one.
What that thing like blows your mind. It's pretty incredible. And between that, his jokes, his, you know, he's quick-witted with a sense of humor, and then hearing just his whole life story, I mean, he's an incredible guy, just a real dynamic guy. So talk about making the most of your opportunity. And but, you know, it's guys like that are on this team, and the guys that Chip has assembled make it fun to be here. So even though I didn't know a ton of guys coming in, it feels like I've known him forever.
Now, Mark, you had some time during the little break between OTA's mini camp and the start of training camp to attend the World Cup.
Sweet.
How was that?
There's no other sporting event like a soccer game in Brazil when Brazil's playing.
Nuts.
It was when Neymar touches the ball, it's like the whole world stops. We got to see.
So yeah, which games did you go to?
We got to see Ecuador, France. We got to see Russia, Belgium, and then Brazil. Cameroon, Brazil, Chile.
That's
and
awesome.
Wow. That game that went down to penalty kicks against Chile was incredible. There was a guy sitting next to me who was probably, I don't know, 70 years old with his son, with his grandson. And when penalty kicks started, he got on his knees and started praying, like in Portuguese, and just started praying for his team. Like, it was intense. And then they blocked a couple shots with the penalty kicks, and then Chile missed their last one. He missed the entire goal, I think. And this place just erupts. I got a video on my phone. It is
really
incredible. And this guy just breaks down in tears, starts hugging people, starts hugging me. I'm just like, he's like, yes, this is our year. You got to come back. You're good luck. Come stay at my house. I'm like, whoa. he's a super nice guy, but it was just incredible. And it went on for a half hour. The players walked around the field thanking everybody.
I remember they were crying.
Oh yeah, the players are crying. It was like an emotional thing. It was crazy. It was one of the coolest things I've seen. And then the other funny part was this Chilean fan runs in front of the Brazilian section. Now, I didn't see any fights. I didn't see any violence. And there's a ton of police everywhere. They're dressed up like Ninja Turtles riot gear. But and they're in like green. They got knee pads on and batons and the thing. So it's like a full deal. But and then the other thing was they didn't serve beer at normal Brazilian soccer games until FIFA came in, because I guess
because they have a deal with Bud Light. Budweiser.
So everybody was worried that there was going to be a lot of violence. I mean, it would get to like the breaking point, guys like in each other's face, yelling, screaming in different languages, Spanish, Portuguese, whatever. And this Chilean fan runs in front of the Brazilian section, starts doing the Chile. He's like, chi, 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 le, le, le. And he starts saying their whole chant. I mean, on cue, 3 seconds into his chant, about 17 beers just pelted him. bam, just peppered him. I was like, oh, God, there's definitely going to be a fight. And it was like this, at the end, there was just like this respect factor. Like, all right, yeah. We support right. our teams. And that's it. And they like walk away. I was like, what? It was crazy, man. It was so cool.
It's part of fun. the corruption of FIFA. They, you know, they won't let them not sell beer because it, you know, Brazil stopped selling beer for soccer games because there was always so much violence.
Right, exactly. Right.
But FIFA's got to make their money.
There's money.
A few of the other guys went down too, right? I think.
Kels was there, Coop was there, and Michael Kendricks. So it was a really good time. We all had a blast. Everybody stayed safe. You know, we were really worried about like pickpocketers, mm-hmm. and everybody said that it was gonna be real dangerous. I mean, nothing. We didn't see anything, didn't experience anything bad, no shady cab driver, nothing. I mean, everything you read about that you know, might have had us apprehensive to go, it was awesome. It was totally safe, totally fun, really good time. Beaches were great. It was fun.
Did you travel around at all, or were you staying mostly in the same place?
We went Rio, Brasilia, and Belo Horizonte.
Awesome. I'm so jealous.
It's so cool.
Now, well, you had a good trip.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Bo got married, and his honeymoon was in Africa.
Bummer.
Yeah, so we were watching the Brazil-Germany game, the 7-1 game, like at midnight in the middle of the Serengeti on this generator-powered, like just square box TV.
That's cool, though.
Like with a fire around us, like outside, like, you know.
That's cool.
Like a zebra right over there. I'm just watching the game.
Watching the game with you?
Yeah, exactly. The monkeys were watching.
Yeah.
But, that game was insane.
I'm just glad we got out of there before that.
That would have been terrible.
That would have been bad. You heard them on the loudspeaker after the games. They're like, you know, if the other team wins and mm-hmm. Brazil loses, they said it, but they're like, German fans, like, wait.
Right.
The police will escort you out.
Right.
Just in case.
It's like when American fans go to the Mexico games.
Right.
I forget what it's called.
Stadio
Azteca. At Azteca, yeah.
When are you taking football back there, man?
Yeah, that'd be great.
That's a good question.
Right? Gosh. You need to tell us. So come World Cup, are you USA or Mexico?
Oh, I mean, come on. I'm a U.S. citizen.
I would root for my, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I root for the U.S., you know, if they're playing in different brackets, I'll watch the Mexico game and throw on a Chicharito jersey.
Yeah.
But
Ochoa was nuts during this World Cup.
Oh,
he was so good.
Have you seen the meme with him? He's like in the goal and he's got like a gigantic sombrero and the guy's like trying to figure out where to hit the ball. Yeah, like the sombrero like blocking the whole goal. It's actually really cool. And then have you seen, there's a bunch going around like each day after the Holland game.
Mm-hmm.
They would say like no era penal. It's like it wasn't a penalty.
Right.
When Robin
it wasn't. Yeah.
So like the first day, the guy's sitting in traffic, and it's like the bubble from his head, and he's just thinking about like no era penal.
Right.
And then like by day four, it was like a pregnancy test. And instead of the plus or minus or whatever, it just says no era penal. It's so funny. They're funny, man.
I like that. That's great. That was Robin's just diving all over the place.
Dude,
that was
such
that
a
was
bummer.
Brutal. They deserved to win that game. But
totally.
Yeah. Now, Mark, did you play soccer?
No. Well, I played 1 year. AYSO, we were the Velociraptors. We lost every game.
That's a great name.
I know.
Yeah. We lost every game. We didn't score a goal until I scored an own goal. My dad never played soccer. My brothers never played soccer.
Really?
So it was hard for them to like try and help me. Because if I were playing basketball or football or baseball, right. They would all help me after practice. Or, you know, we'd go to the park and play. Well, none of them knew how to kick the ball either. So... that was just a 1 year deal, and that was terrible.
Tell me this: when you were down there with Kendricks, how often did he say that if he stuck to soccer, he would have made the team?
The day he showed up.
He definitely said that, right?
Yes.
I don't know. Is this thing on?
over under.
He's confident in his skills.
No, well, he was playing on the beach a little bit.
Was he?
But okay. Those dudes on the beach are legit, and they're not even like pros.
Right. They're just.
But they'll play the foot soccer. They'll play the soccer volleyball.
Right. 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 Right.
And I mean, it's like if you took away the spiking, if I was playing with my hands
you
like a 2-on-2,
because you play
be
volleyball,
hard.
Right?
I can play beach volleyball, right. But it'd be hard to beat them with their feet.
Right.
I'm serious. If you couldn't spike, I mean, spiking, right, you'd obviously have an advantage. But I'm telling you, back and forth, just
wow.
a rally like that, they'd go for a half hour straight. I got another video of that. That was awesome. It was really cool.
Now, so you've been studying to learn Spanish, correct?
Yeah. Well, I learned it, probably two off seasons ago.
Okay. Fluent?
Fluent now.
In Spanish. Yeah. How about now Portuguese? Because that's primarily the language down in Brazil. So.
That was tough.
Okay. There's some similarities, though.
Divisão.
Are there some similarities, though?
Obrigado.
Yeah, obrigado. That's all I got.
What else did Coop learn? Coop learned cerveja. Obrigado, cerveja. <Yeah.
laughs> But did that help you as you interacted with fans?
A little bit. So the way I learned was this method. It's called the Michelle Thomas method. And this guy teaches you... almost similar the way we teach the offense.
I was going to say, it's got to be similar.
Things that just click in your brain and you never forget. So to say late in Spanish, you say tarde. And it's tardy when you were late for school. So he says, do you remember when you were late for school and you were tardy? And then you were so late, you were tardy and you were tardy. And then in Spanish now it's tarde. And it's tarde because it's more later. So how do we say more? And you say más, and you say más tarde. Nos vemos más tarde. Like, I'll see you later. And you just never forget that because you're tardy and it's later. Boom, done. So
I'm learning here as I'm
The Portuguese one is like that as well. Well, it's Portuguese like you would speak in Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a sh instead of a zh.
Okay.
And so when I got down there, it was tough, man. Yeah. The D's sounds like Fred, their player Fred.
Freji.
Everybody says Freji.
That's tough.
So it was like, it was weird. And
is Hulk
just
still?
It would be like learning English in the UK and then going to Mississippi and speaking English.
Exactly.
I mean, people just talk different.
Right.
And so that was hard. But we got around. I could speak to the cab driver. Right. They got it. They understood it. Or if you speak Spanish real slow, they'd kind of understand it. But surprisingly, very little English.
Really?
Even at hotels. I mean, like concierge people at hotels. Right. I'm like... McDonald's. Talk to me. Yeah. Foco de chow.
Now, was it one of the things where they could speak it? Because it seems like in some countries they can speak it, but they want you to learn the language. So,
dude,
or was it just.
I mean, very little English. Yeah. It was tough. So, obrigado and cerveja. Pretty much nailed it. A
couple words and get you through the whole time.
It was cool, though. It was a good time.
So
they were saying this is going back to the Brazil thing, but they were saying that even worse than the loss to Germany was when Neymar went down, because the prospect of playing without him, like the whole country was just like
it was. I mean, they have posters of the guy's girlfriend, like life size posters, and people are like passing it around the crowd to take pictures with it. Everybody's saying prayers for Neymar before the game. They got chants for the guy. It was like. The world stops when the guy touches the ball.
Yeah,
it was
brutal.
Incredible. It was really incredible. It was fun, though.
So from the outside perspective of seeing how they treat the soccer stars there, what's it like being a pro athlete here as compared to seeing how they treat? I mean, you played at USC.
Yeah.
You played at two of the biggest media markets.
It would be like if football was the only sport in the entire country, and the entire country was like Philadelphia fans. Like, if they were that passionate, that's the way it felt. That's really the way it...
Really?
You know, and that's what the other guy said, too. They're like, whoa, these guys are serious. These fans are into it. They know everything. And that's all they want to talk about is soccer. So it was really cool.
Now, some of the other things I've heard you like to do is, apparently you're a pretty good musician.
I'm decent at
decent.
Best.
You play the guitar?
Play the guitar a little bit.
Okay. But I heard you like to sing, though.
He got this from your publicist, so blame her.
Yes, Kate came through for me here. So.
KB, through, I mean, so. I'll karaoke every once in a while, just messing around, having fun.
What's the go-to?
Yeah, that's obviously the next question there.
I mean, it depends on the crowd. We can go Motown. We can go
'80s,
'90s. I don't know. Just
you'll feel out the audience.
I'll feel out the audience.
Okay.
Mr. Jones. I've done Mr. Jones before. So.
Not bad. You got something to say? Vinny, okay. Vinny Curry is lurking around here. I don't know if he's got something to say. Former
behind
podcast guest.
Remember, we're neighbors. Yes. Toilet paper your house real quick.
So how have you gotten to know Philly at all?
A little bit. I still haven't tried a cheesesteak. Don't kill me.
It's
need to try it.
It's all right. Here's what I'll tell you. I live like right next to Pat's and Geno's. Don't go to Pat's and Geno's. Their cheesesteaks are not good.
Okay.
I hope that doesn't get me hurt in the neighborhood. But
yeah, I feel like a lot of people are going to get mad. I've seen a lot of ads for those.
Bold comments here.
Where you should go.
I didn't say that, by the way.
Where you should go is not in the city. It's technically in the city, but D'Alessandro's in Roxborough. That's where you should go. But
everybody you talk to says something new.
I'm telling you, D'Alessandro's is a place to go. But if you want to go to like one of the more popular places.
So I say Jim's.
Jim's or John's Roast Pork are good.
John's Roast Pork.
But don't go to Pat's and Geno's. Don't make that your first impression.
There's a place in Mayfair, it's Tarsdale. It's called Joe's Steaks and Milkshakes. It used to be called Chink Steaks for years and years and years, and then finally they had changed the name. The best. It is the best cheesesteak in Philadelphia. No,
we'll have to get their owner on the phone with Daniel Snyder.
I did find a good taco place, though.
Really?
Where at? La Mexicanita. I need to find the address.
Probably near me.
It is so good.
Really?
Oh. There's a lot of good Mexican places.
Money. It's underrated. Yeah.
Money. It's really good. And they deliver.
That's big, man.
That's big time.
That's very crucial. So
not a lot of time, I guess, during training camp.
Well, it's funny you talk about you haven't had a cheesesteak. I'm like, with Chip's philosophy about nutrition, I'm sure it's one of those things where it's like
bread and cheese. I'm out.
I'm out. Figure across the board, just no.
Coming from New York to Philly, I'm sure you haven't had any pizza down here that you've.
That's a good one.
It's not good.
I haven't actually.
Yeah,
I'm a New
I think
York.
I had Pizza Hut or Little Caesar, something like that.
Oh, jeez.
Well, while we're talking about the transition from New York to Philly, have you found a barber in Philadelphia that you like?
A girl actually cut my hair the other day, and she was pretty good. So
better. You've come further than I have.
So would you? Yes. So how long have you been in Philadelphia, Bill?
Five, six years.
I've had
one haircut in Philadelphia. I go back to New York for my haircut.
Stop.
Well, that's where my family lives. I go home. I work it in together.
Okay, I'm not that.
I plan. I'm telling you, Cosmo, straight off the boat.
Wow.
What can I? You know, he's one of my best friends in the world. I gotta tell him what's on and going on in my life.
That's where you go to gossip.
That's right.
I like it.
What happened?
4 days before the wedding, I had to have my final tune-up.
That's understandable, though. Before the wedding, but. Just take a Saturday afternoon drive back.
Listen, I had one haircut in Philadelphia, and it didn't cut the mustard. They don't know my hair like Cosmo knows my hair. I don't have to tell him
how to cut it. I mean,
you got to
go through a couple haircuts. Just figure it out.
You got to feel him out.
Mark Sanchez is telling you this.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. I doubt it. You know, as long as Cosmo's still around, I'm gonna still be going back.
You know, Mark, it's funny how fans will call football players heroes, but your father... Long-time firefighter back in California. You speak to the impact that he's had?
Yeah, he's been to a bunch of disasters, too. He did the urban search and rescue stuff, and he would never talk about it, just like a lot of the guys don't talk about playing football publicly and stuff.
Yeah.
I think one of the only stories he's ever told me was somebody texting and driving and wrapped their car around a pole. So he was just right when I got my license, and... That was like a big thing. He's just like, don't do that. And that was one of the only stories he's ever told me. Everything else I had to hear from his crew, like, man, you should have seen your dad.
Really?
I mean, there's people running out of the building. He's running into it, you know, that kind of thing. And he was a captain for a long time, a paramedic before that. Like I said, did the urban search and rescue. So he was at Katrina. He was at Oklahoma City. He was getting ready to board a plane for 9/11, and then they didn't end up calling his group, so he stayed. But it was... You know, it was hard for me to understand when I was younger because those tragedies would happen and his group was like, you know, excited. Obviously not excited about the tragedy, but this is finally their game. They train, you know, they're in training camp for a long time. And then finally it's boom, Katrina hits. Okay, we got to go save people. And usually the stuff you see on the news is bad enough. And he'd always come home with pictures that were just like, wow, you know, I couldn't believe a city could look like that. So it's pretty incredible. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for him, and he's a great leader.
Well, Mark, welcome to Philadelphia, and
thank you
very much for joining us here on the Eagles Insider Podcast. Wish you the best of luck throughout the rest of training camp and preseason.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Thanks for coming.
Yep.
Great stuff there from Mark. Tremendous insight. It's really, really interesting to see the lives of players when they have their downtime, what they do away from the football field, and for him to – just how excited he was to talk about that trip to Brazil. I mean, I'm not a soccer fan, Bo, I know, is a big soccer fan. Fran, you're...
I grew up playing soccer.
Really?
I will watch soccer. I watch the World Cup, but I don't follow it. So it's tough for me to say. Like, I don't know as many of the players, but I love watching it.
I appreciate the World Cup. I'm not a fan of soccer, you know, but I'll get into it. Because it's sort of like the Olympics every couple of years. But, you know, just seeing the enthusiasm that Mark had talking about, can't help but get excited about
it. It's the best sporting event in the world.
So... what we're going to do now is we're going to wind things down on this edition, the first training camp edition of the Eagles
Beakley podcast.
Of course. We're going to go through some of the tired storylines. We've talked about what we're looking for on the field as training camp kicks off here. Now we're going to talk about some of the cliche storylines that get rehashed and that I'll raise my hand, I'm fully guilty of.
Well, that's
using
the thing. So
lobbies.
If we're doing this, are we deciding that we will never use these again on PhiladelphiaEagles.com?
No, because here's the easy go-to one. Is any week you play the Giants, you have to have a headline that says something like Giant Matchup or Giant Showdown in there. And I am totally guilty of that each and every time. But
yeah,
you
but
can't,
that's not
you
exactly
can't help it,
what that's not exactly what we're talking about, is it?
I think it's along those lines.
Basically, this came up because one of our new producers, Ray Doyle, who just got hired. Congratulations to him. We were
pouring out for Slimothy Timothy.
Yep. You know, we were sitting there talking, and it was just funny. You brought it up earlier, Bo, about Nick Foles answering the same questions over and over in every press conference.
That's the thing. Like, I like Michael Vick when he was here. I can't imagine being so patient with the same questions every day. I would go nuts.
There are just some storylines that just never die.
See, Bo, you know, he would at some point just start throwing in cavalier answers just to...
Yeah, I mean, I would mess with people. That's definitely what I would
absolutely
do.
Absolutely.
But that's Bo, of course.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, we started laughing. We were like, you know, you can look up and down this roster and there are just a number of storylines that year in, year out with some of these guys just won't die.
What's
they
the first
always
one?
Come up.
So what's the first one for you?
The first one for me had to be the Nick Foles with Drew Brees, breaking all of Drew Brees' passing records in high school at Texas. Every year, there's always like that comes up, and it might be even every few months. Like I felt like that always came up.
Did it come up that often before we were playing the Saints?
Yes, it did. Definitely did. I remember when we drafted him, it came up. I remember his first camp, it came up.
I feel like that one's not as tired. I think it's partially because we played him in the playoffs last season.
That was one where they came up often. But
of course,
there's also Nick Foles was recruited to play basketball at Georgetown.
That's more tired than.
But to me, it's more like, you know, Nick, it's your second year as a starter. What's different? What's different for you going in as a starter? Like, nothing's different. I'm the starter. That's what's different. Yeah. I'm still doing the same stuff.
Well, like, I got to imagine it's kind of like, oh, so you guys just got married. Congratulations. How's it feel?
How's married life?
Yeah.
The same.
It's the same. Agreed.
My left hand is heavier.
People just try to make conversation. Jeez. I tell you.
C-Mac feels bad now for asking how married life was when he came back.
No, because I know it's the same too, but...
Let's try to
be polite about it. So
what else we got? I know one of my favorites is how Riley Cooper is so good on deep balls because he was a former baseball player.
That was the one. That was the one that we brought up. That was the one. Good one.
He makes such good adjustments on the ball because he's a baseball
former outfielder. Did you know that he got drafted by the Phillies?
That's
really?
Right.
That was the one that sparked the conversation.
What else do we have?
The Trent Cole, this is one I'm very guilty of, is the Trent Cole as the hunter.
The hunter.
Always
like
the hunter.
That's his nickname. Like, yeah, that's true. It's okay. Yeah.
But it's like every time. Because the thing is, okay, you're coming up with headlines for stories that, you know.
Well,
stories
to me,
we
it's different. It's not about like reusing the same headlines or like because calling him the hunter, that's his nickname. It's more about like. A guy from out of town comes in and wants to write the same story that's already been written by somebody in the Philadelphia media wants to write the same story that's already been written. Like,
yeah.
You know, like the Riley Cooper, the Nick Foles stuff. Like we talked to Mark Sanchez earlier. Every single day, a new person from the New York media comes down here and wants to talk about what's Mark Sanchez's post Jets life. Like, I understand that that's a story, but does everyone have to write the same thing? Can't they just all write it together at the same time?
Well, that's the problem is it's like one person comes down the first day of camp, someone comes down the next day of camp. And, I mean, that's why fans are blessed to have as many media outlets covering teams, but at the same time, when you have a press conference, you're going to read. That's like following press conferences on Twitter.
Oh, right.
Where if you follow, you know, 10 beat writers, you're going to get the same tweet 10 times over, you know, over and over again.
So I think this is a good one to put out to the fans. What are the Ooh. Eagles storylines that you would like to retire?
What if it's one that I like to pull from?
I mean, I'm not making any guarantees that we'll retire it. But
then you're taking over the homepage and you're doing all the headlines for
someone. Someone needs to write in saying that they're tired of hearing about Eagles Beakley podcast.
Well, no, I think they're tired about hearing about Cosmo.
That will never get old.
That's funny. So, that one is funny. The fact that Mark Sanchez said, "Dude,
listen, you know, Mark has no trouble with the ladies."
No,
neither do I. But you know, it's because I go to Cosmo.
So, are there any of these other? I was trying to go up and down the roster, trying to think if there were any other of these storylines. Like, would it have anything like LeSean McCoy being nicknamed Shady? Anything like?
No, I think that's fine. That's his
nickname.
Yeah,
but no, I think overall,
I'm wondering how much longer we're going to hear, or at least pontificate about how Jordan Matthews is going to be playing in the slot. Because it's happened since day one, Chip said he would be playing in the slot.
So this is good. And you can speak to this, Fran, but Sam Lynch made this point on Twitter the other day, and it's a good point. We're talking about like Jordan Matthews. He's really bringing something different to the slot position this year because he's bigger than nickel corners and he can block well. Mm-hmm. But Jason Avant, I mean, Chip was talking about the other day. Jason Avant was a really good blocker too. Jason Avant was bigger than the guys covering him. It's not that different. He's certainly faster than Jason Avant. He's a better athlete than Jason Avant. That's what's different.
And it's not like
this is a brand new thing that Chip has invented. Like, let's put Calvin Johnson
Marcus
in the slot.
Marcus Colston's been playing in the slot for however many years now. Since, you know, ever since his rookie year. So, no, it's not anything new. So I'm wondering how long we're going to be talking.
Yeah.
I think it's obviously a great move, and I'm really excited to see it. But since May now, we've been talking about this. It's
maybe we should put Villanueva in the slot.
There you go.
Thankfully, Jordan doesn't have a closer relationship with Jerry Rice, because that storyline that came up in the draft. That's obviously he's a cousin.
And that's a good example. That's a good example because it's like that is a really cool story to write once or twice. Like. Yeah. Everybody, if
there was an actual connection, the thing is, there's no connect. Really.
Like, you know, the Cooper baseball thing may or may not be true, but it's a cool like thing to at least pretend is true, and then like talk about. But we don't need everybody to talk about every time, you know.
Yeah, it's tough. And then what's frustrating is when a national reporter does a story, and everyone's like, "Wow, did you know this?" And it's like, "Yeah, we wrote it on the site 5 times in the last 2 months," but. You know, but when you have that outside perspective of someone who does it, then it's like the first time everyone's read it. So
So what's the best way for people to let us know the stories they want to retire?
Ooh.
At Eagles Insider.
At Eagles Insider with the
on Twitter with the hashtag retire this or something like that.
That's good. Simple like that. Retire this.
Retire this. I like that hashtag.
Yeah,
retire
simple.
This.
Yeah, snappy, simple. So. If you're tired of reading a certain story, hashtag retire this.
And again, absolutely no promises that we will retire
no,
this story.
No, none whatsoever. Absolutely not.
And we can't speak for anybody else either.
Right.
But
I think
mean,
that's good.
But I think the fact that I'm sure we'll have some good ones to read on there, and ones I'm sure that I'm guilty of.
We talked about
used.
It with Vinnie Curry. Like, if he gets asked if he's getting traded every single day, like.
He, you know, that's after. I'm a little guilty of this one. After the open practice. Because, you know, he's been utilized a couple different ways. We've seen him as a stand-up rusher. You see him used as a down end in some of the four down linemen looks. It's like, you know, it seems like that, you know, they're finding a way to utilize his talents because obviously he does come off the ball very quickly and he's a good pass rusher. So I said, you know, I kind of did the difference from last year this year, more comfortable type thing, and he just started laughing. He just stopped and just he like shook his head, put his hand on my shoulder, and just shook his head. Anyone to do anything with singing, Julian Vanderbilt.
Yeah, that's right.
Could a player sing the national anthem? Well, we've got Julian Vanderbilt.
I got the greatest idea. Did you know he sang the national anthem for President Obama?
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
And then again, I thought his performance in the Splash Page cartoon last year was phenomenal.
Oh, absolutely.
It was phenomenal. Which he did in one take, apparently.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Came off the practice field in one take.
That's right. I only did one take for the Eagles Forest.
Hello, Eagles fans.
For those of you who didn't know,
go find the Splash Page cartoon against the Lions from 2 years ago.
Oh, I was actually.
I've been working on those puns for years.
I was about to say if Fan could point that one out, which cartooner was it? We'd send him a prize, but.
I always think about it anytime I see one of them. So I got Toad Harriman's. You see him around the building, or Jets sign Jason Baboon. There, you know.
And they always come up. Always come
Nate
up.
Owlin.
Nate Allen. Yeah. I have to go through the roster of new guys to see what I can come up with. But maybe we'll bring it back this year.
You sound like Matt McBryer.
Well, tell. We can't break his heart. Don't. Patrick Wall, you know what we're talking about. You're listening, but we will not break your secrets. I swear to God.
Oh.
Well.
And that's going to do it, I think, for the first training camp edition of the Eagles
Beakley podcast. I was going to wait to get it to like the last second. No, I was really going to go for it.
That's fine. I figured you were going to get in there, so. So, folks, thanks for joining us here on the Eagles Insider Podcast. Whether you're watching online, whether you download iTunes, thank you very much for your support. And we'll be back again next week.